Let's pray to get going. Heavenly Father, we do come in your presence, Lord. We just need to see your face and hear your word speak, Lord. I mean, there's so many people here. I've talked to many of you that you're desperate to hear from the Lord. And I'll tell you, there's no better life than to hear him speak to you. Just one word from the Lord can transform a human being. One glimpse of his glory. So Lord, reveal yourself to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm gonna call this message. Are you guys okay getting slapped in the face a bit today? Some people are like, yes, and we're like, please don't. Well, it's coming. I was gonna say, yeah, it's important to know that I love you. And here we go. Just kidding. The Lord's been really dealing with this on my heart. So if he deals with me on some things, I just assume that that's kind of something maybe he wants to deal with other people as well. And that's what I want to do today. In Matthew chapter 21 is where we're going to read. And I'm calling this message, Leaves Deceive. Leaves Deceive. And I think that I was talking to our men's small group last night. And we actually mentioned a few things that I'm going to preach about a little bit as well today. But the idea that anything, so keep this in mind while we read. Anything you do apart from intimacy with God often is just works you do to appease a God that already loves you. Are you guys with me? He wants intimacy with you more than he wants sometimes what you think he wants from you. And oftentimes, so anyway, leaves deceive. Leaves deceive. We're gonna go into this a little bit. I want to just get started reading in Matthew chapter 21. Before I start reading, we're going to start reading in verse 12. Before we go there, just a little bit of the background here on Matthew 21. This is when Jesus is coming to Jerusalem for the final time. This is the triumphal entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem for the final time. He knows what's going to happen to him there. And he's coming in, you know the story, he rides in on a donkey. The people are crying out, Hosanna, which means save now, Lord, save us now. Like, save us now, son of David. And there's this big commotion occurring in Jerusalem where this prophet from Galilee is coming and people are like, this might be it. This might be the time when the kingdom of God is established by the Messiah. And so he rides into the Jerusalem from the east, by the way. And it's kind of important to know because the temple was situated on the eastern wall of Jerusalem. So he's coming in from the east and walking directly into the temple. We're walking straight into the temple, and you guys may remember what he does when he comes. So we're going to read in Matthew 21, 12. The first stop here in the temple. And it says, then Jesus went into the temple of God. This is verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind, this is what I want to focus on. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. And I was just with the Lord kind of, I had my eyes closed and I want to take you into this moment with this real moment that happened with the Lord. And just go there with me for a second. You have Jesus who walks into the temple and he's standing there and he's looking around and what does he see? He sees a bunch of religious activity taking place. Are you guys seeing this? He sees there's sacrifices being made. There's sacrifices being sold. There's people probably praying. I mean, I don't know what he's seeing. He's looking around the temple and he's seeing all of this religious activity taking place. And then for whatever reason, he puts a stop to it all. Are you guys following me? He goes and he flips the tables over. Let's do it. He flips the pretense, the fakeness, the routine, and he stops it. He flips the tables over. You just picture him in the temple. He's going berserk. John says he crafts a whip, and he's striking people with it, flipping the tables over. And in this, I'm just saying, you see this in this moment, after all the chaos subsides, all the hustle and bustle, everyone stops. Everyone stops, and they look at Jesus and say, what is he doing? And here is Jesus standing in the temple. And what does he do? All the religious activity has now stopped. And he says, bring the people to me. I will heal them. Bring me the blind and the lame and the poor and the oppressed. I will heal them. And you have Jesus standing here saying, unless... He's redefining, by the way, what worship is. Are you guys with me? He's redefining what worship is. He's saying, unless people's lives are changed, we're just going through the motions. Can you guys follow this thing that's happening? He says, all of this activity, this is like you guys, I mean, I love us all. I've been there. We've all been guilty of this, where we show up on a Sunday morning because that's what good Christians do, right? We show up to a Bible study because that's what good Christians do. We do all of these routines, which really do have a place in our lives. But at the end of the day, unless you meet with Jesus, nothing will change. Unless you meet with him, which means sometimes your religious activity is what's keeping you from meeting with him, because you have now checked some boxes that you think are what he wants, and all he wants is to meet with you. But let's keep going with this. He's changing what he's redefining, the things that are supposed to happen in the presence of God. What is supposed to happen in the presence of God is people are supposed to be changed. The sick are healed. The anxious find peace. The joyless find hope. Are you guys seeing me? These are the things that happen when Jesus is present in the place of God. And so he's putting a stop to the religious activity, and he's saying, bring the people to me. I will heal them. How many of you have ever been truly touched by the Lord and healed? Did it come through works, or did it come through intimacy in the place where it's just you and him and the rest of the world dissolves and he touches you and your life is changed? There's nothing else. We often think God wants our church attendance. What he wants is your heart. You think he wants... We're going to keep going on this. I don't know how far we'll get today, but we'll go. I was, you know, even some of our men's group guys. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, you know, we launched a men's group, and I'm trying to figure out what are we going to do when we get together? What are we going to do? Because what everyone was expecting that we would do would be what? Bible study. I love Bible study. If you guys haven't got the vibe yet, I spend a ton of time in the Word. I love it. But what I was worried about is that if all we did was show up and open the Bible and talk to each other about the Bible, we would all leave unchanged. Why? Because the only thing that matters is if you come to meet with the Lord. Now, I'm sure you can meet with him whenever you're in the Word. I love the Word. What I'm trying to say, though, is that sometimes you read the Word to check a box instead of come meet with the Lord. And there's a huge difference. Are you guys with me? Same thing goes with Sunday morning church. People, we will come to check our Christian box, and then we'll leave unchanged. We'll wonder why. Where's God? Well, you didn't come to meet with him. So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to keep going in this story because it gets better and better. By the way, just really quick, what I want to do is be a church and a people that when you come, you meet with the Lord. You don't watch a show. This is why I think the Lord has asked me to stop writing notes for the time being for the sermons. Because he's trying to say it's not a show. We're not here to listen to a message, though it's important. We're here to meet with Jesus. If you're here for any other reason, you're off base. All the religious activity stops, and alone stands Jesus in the middle of the temple grounds. And he says, all this? No, I don't. I want people to be healed. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. We'll stop the sacrifices for a minute. That's my cart cry for you. What's this place supposed to be? A place where we meet with the Lord. And when you meet with him, you will not leave unchanged. You will not. I heard one guy talk about this. If the Holy Spirit was just to brush against you, it's over. It's over. If the Spirit of Jesus is walking down this aisle and you get touched, if you just touch the hem of his robe, you're healed. Are you guys with me? You don't, just a piece of him. One glimpse, one drink, and my soul is satisfied. Just one. I'm telling you. And all you're getting, get him. And all you're getting, get him. And he goes on. In verse 15, it says, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant, these chief priests were. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? Like, shut them up, Lord. Or Jesus, and they wouldn't call him Lord. Do you not hear what they're saying to you? They're saying you are the Son of David. And Jesus said to them, yeah, I hear them. Have you not read? You know, Jesus in another spot said, you search the scriptures. He tells this to the Pharisees. You search the scriptures, thinking that in the scriptures you'll find eternal life. What does he say? It's the scriptures that talk about me. That's what he says. I am eternal life. I am the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am it. He says, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected worship. He's like, they understand more than you do. They understand more than you do. Are you guys with me? Yep. Come to the Lord Jesus. That's what we're going to do today. Who here needs a glimpse of him? Come on. Here we go. Got to rattle it up a little bit. Sometimes your religion, what you need, by the way, is Jesus to walk into your temple, which is your body, and flip over some tables. Flip over some dead routine. And he says, come to me. I will give you life. I will heal you. I will give you what you need. I am the bread of life. You eat of me, you'll never go hungry again. I am the, if you drink from my well, you will never thirst. He's like, you can come to church and still be hungry. You can come to church, but you can't meet him. Are you guys with me? Here we go. So he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. Remember that for later, by the way. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves. And he said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. You see what he's doing. So here, if we go back to the story here, Jesus walks into the temple. He sees a lot of things that look religious happening. And he says, I am not in any of those. Are you guys? I'm not in the religious things. I'm not in your church Sunday morning attendance. I'm not in your Bible study or with your friends. And I mean, he is, but he's not. He's in intimacy. That's where he's in. He wants you. Different than maybe we think he does. He doesn't want your, he wants your heart. I don't know how else to say it. He wants you to yield yourself to him and open up and just let him pour into you water that will never run dry. That's what he wants. And so he goes in there and he immediately puts a stop to it all. Says, I don't need the religious activity. I need people to be healed when they come here. He's I need people to be set free when they show up. And it's not the religious activity that will set them free. It is my presence. When you come into my presence, you are healed. Are you guys with me? And so then he leaves the temple and he stays the night and he comes back. And as he's walking on the road, he's hungry. He's hungry. And he looks at a fig tree on the side of the road and it's covered with leaves. So it looks like it's in season. A lot of religious activity happening. A lot of activity going on. And what's interesting about the fig, by the way, the fig tree, it actually grows fruit before it grows leaves. This is an interesting truth about the fig tree. So if you see a fig tree covered in leaves, what do you expect? You expect to find some fruit. What is the fruit he's looking for? Figs, which is life. He wants life for you. Not routine, life. Are you guys with me? My prayer has been so long, like, Lord, what's the purpose of me praying for somebody if nothing happens? Let there be fruit on the tree. You know, are you guys with me? Like, and you know, sometimes you have to be willing. I think he likes a little bit of desperation in you. Just a little bit. Not like you're dancing for him, but like, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's about to be crucified, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying in the garden, and he's sweating drops of blood. Do you know what the word Gethsemane means? Oil press. Sometimes there is a crushing before there's oil. Are you guys with me? Sometimes there is a crushing before there's oil. That's how you get oil. Willingness to surrender. And that's Jesus in the garden. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I don't want to be crushed. But I do want what you'll do with me after. Are you willing? That's what he asks. Are you willing to open up to the Lord and say, Lord, do what you need to do. But when people come to my tree, let there be fruit. Like, let there be oil to satisfy somebody. Sometimes you don't get that with all the leaves. Because leaves have a tendency to deceive yourself. Thinking that it's fruit. But really, it's just coverings for your insecurity. Are we going? Are we okay? Yeah. Hey! We love to put leaves on. Because leaves are cheap. But the fruit can sometimes have a cost to it. That some of us don't. But there's so much life to it. Okay. Here we go. So he goes to the tree. And he sees the leaves. And no fruit. And he curses the tree, and immediately the fig tree withers away. And of course, what do we know happens shortly after Jesus dies? Within the next 40 years, the entire religious system of the Jews was thrown to the ground and destroyed by the Roman Empire. All of that religious activity that was happening in the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Less than 40 years after Jesus died. And this way saying, this is the symbolic prophetic act of what was to come. And he prophesied it many times. He's saying all that activity, all that religion, that you've had, but yet my people were unfed. The poor people were still oppressed. The poor people were still hungry. The beggars were still starving. The sick people were still sick. Are you guys with me? And he looks at it, he's like, where's the fruit? You guys think in Amos chapter 5, I didn't know if I'd go here or not, but we got time. Amos chapter 5, this is what the Lord said to the Israelites many years before Jesus came, the first time around. Listen to what he says in Amos chapter 5, verse 20. I don't think it's going to be on the screen, but just listen to me. This is the Lord speaking. Sometimes he needs to speak this way to you. Just be ready for that. Sometimes he needs to speak grace to you. Sometimes he needs to shake up and flip the tables. Because what does he want is you to be set free. That is what he wants. He wants you to be healed, but sometimes to be healed, you have to get rid of the religious or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? And then bring them to me. So this is what he says in Amos chapter 5, verse 21. Says, this is the Lord. He says, I despise your feast days. And I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I don't accept them. Nor will I regard your fat and peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. This is what he says. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. He's like, get rid of the pretense. You know, there's so much in the prophets. The idea is like they'll come in, they'll offer a sacrifice to their God, and then it's like the Good Samaritan story. It's like, you know, who are the people that walked by the Samaritan on the side of the road, or not the Jew on the side of the road? It was the priests and the Levites. They get done serving God in the temple, and they walk by, and the sick guy, destroyed guy's there, and they walk right past. He says, let justice flow down like water. What is justice to the Lord? Love. Love. That's what he thinks is just. He doesn't like it when we withhold our hand from people who are hurting. We say, well, I came to church on Sunday. That's what the Lord wants. Check the box. This is why leaves can deceive. Because you can go through the motions and think everything's okay. But when the Lord comes and he sends people to your life and he's hungry, he's like, oh, there's nothing to eat here. There's a lot of activity, though. There's a lot of things happening, but there's just, where's the food? Where's the oil? Are you guys with me so far? Lord really convicted me on this, hard chords, by the way, not just you. I'm right there with you. And I found it interesting, a couple of things. What leaves often are the things that actually keep us from intimacy with God. Oftentimes we would rather put on a leaf than yield ourselves to the Lord. Because we kind of know that when he shows up, he's going to start messing around. What did Adam and Eve do as soon as they had sinned? Covered with what? Leaves. Fig leaves, specifically. Fig leaves. They put them on. And immediately when they sinned before God, and they immediately were ashamed, and they tried to purge their inner feeling of guilt and shame by decorating their body and covering themselves with leaves. It was the first religious act. God did not ask for that. Are you guys seeing this? He didn't ask for it. They said, you know what God would want now that we're naked and ashamed? To probably put something on. And they put the leaves on. And immediately they could not relate to each other very well. And immediately they could not relate to God very well with the leaves on. Are you guys with me? Their relationships were hurt, and they put leaves on to try to hide their own insecurities, which is why I say oftentimes my greatest fear is that we will come here on Sunday mornings, but we'll leave the same as we came in. We won't have met with the Lord. And so, but the deceiving part of it is that, well, I did what the Lord wanted. I showed up at church, right? Are you guys with me? I did what the Lord wanted. I did this, I did that, or I was nice to this person, I was kind. And what we're saying is we often adorn ourselves with leaves. There's a truth that anything you do apart from intimacy with God is actually leaves, not fruit. It's works, not power. Anything you do outside of intimacy. And so there's this place where we need to go where it's where we're not putting on a show for the Lord. I didn't know if I was going to bring this up or not, but it feels fitting. And I actually don't have really... The guys in the men's group, is it okay if I keep picking on you? Alex is all about it. It's good. What I'm trying to say is that, and I love this. Like, I love, I'm not opposed. Don't take this the wrong way. There's times, and by the way, I'm going to say something, and everybody in the men's group is going to think I'm talking about them specifically. I'm not. Liar. I'm talking to Josh specifically now. Just kidding. I don't want you to get caught up on the details of what I'm going to say. I want you to hear the purpose of what I'm going to say. Please. Please, don't get caught up in the deals. Just hear the purpose. Sometimes we'll be here and someone will use profanity. Okay? I'm not against this per se. I'm a big boy. I've spoken profanity. What I'm trying to point, though, is this. Let me take you someplace. Immediately what will happen is they'll kind of look around goofily and like, oops, sorry. You know, like we're in the house of God here. Are you guys with me? What are we doing? We're putting leaves on. We think that in this little place, we got to decorate ourselves. Cover up. And then as soon as I walk out, I'll go use that language in my life all the time. But when I come in here, I can't do that. We'll put that leaf back on. Cover that up. I got to hide this. I got to hide that. I got to cover. And you end up, the Lord is saying, come in here and take the leaves off. I want to heal you. I want to minister to you here. When you come in with this pretense, Jesus calls it hypocrisy. He's like, I can't get in. There's too many leaves covering. You're a different person when you come here than when you're out there. And so it has nothing to do with the profanity. It's just like an image of saying, like, if it's okay out there, if it's not okay here, like, what are we doing? What are we playing these games for? You guys with me? I'm not here saying, like, if you curse, you're a sinner. I'm just merely saying, like, it's the pretense that I'm after. Are you guys with me? I don't even care. I don't even care about it. It's not a big deal. What I am saying, though, is a big deal whenever you start thinking, I have to put on a show for my God. It's like you become like a prostitute to the Lord, just to be honest with you. It's like, I got to dance for him. He's like, no, you're my bride. You're my bride. I'm the bridegroom. You don't dance for me. Are you guys with me? I love you. You come to me, I heal you. I change you. But often we don't get changed because of the leaves. We won't open it up. You know, I don't know how far to read into it, but I just found it interesting, you know, just studying the Word, just spending time with the Lord. And Jesus, when he's riding into the Jerusalem here in Matthew 21, and the people are crying out, Hosanna, what are they laying on the ground? Two things, leaves and clothes. They're taking off the covering of their life. Are you guys following me? What is this an image of? It's an image of going back to the garden with the Lord with nothing separating you. No need to put anything on to come commune with God. No need to wear the leaves, the clothes. They're laying him at his feet, saying, Lord, you can have me, all of me. And I'm not going to continue to put up this pretense. The problem is whenever we don't go there, what we know is that to go there, we're going to have to take some things off. And that can, there's no shame in understanding that sometimes that's, that gets you a little worried. But the Lord's like, one of the truths, I think I could talk to Alex, he kind of said this, talked to me about some things that when we were naked before the Lord, he changed us. When we dropped the pretense. When it wasn't fake anymore. I know, JC, you told your testimony. And you said, I can now finally say things like the joy of the Lord is my strength is real to me. Why? Because it used to be leaves. Then you met the Lord. And he healed you. He healed you. He can do it for anybody. We'll just keep going until the Holy Spirit stops us. Is that okay? He goes on. So you might say, well, what is this? So Jesus was hungry. He's looking for fruit. You might ask, like, what is fruit? What's he looking for? Follow me a little bit. Follow me. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 23. So this is all happening at the same time, by the way. This is the same like day, or I guess over 2 days. He's still preaching to the same people, doing the same things. And he says this to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 23. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, spices, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice and mercy and faith. He says, these do you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of the cup, but you leave the inside dirty. It's a tree with leaves only. Are you guys with me on this? This is the idea. You cleanse the outside of the cup. In other words, there's a lot of religious activity, but there's nothing in here. It's a show. It's a show. And this was me for so many years. This is what the Lord confronted me. He said, Nate, you were humble so that people would see you as humble. Are you guys with me? You were loving because you thought that's what you needed to, or you were kind. This is a big one. You were nice to avoid conflict. Had nothing to do with love. Had to do with you not wanting conflict. You were so focused on self-preservation that I couldn't do anything with you. You were so self-conscious all the time. I couldn't minister with you. And this was, you know, a big deal. And here's the thing. When the Lord cuts, it's like a double-edged sword. He heals when he cuts. This is interesting what the Lord does. It's like a hot scalpel. You know what I mean? It like cuts and heals, cuts and heals, cuts and heals at the same time. And you want it. You actually want it. You like it becomes your life. Like, Lord, talk to me. Because I've found out that whenever you speak to me, you point me in the way of life. And whenever I'm trying to figure it out on my own, I'm walking down a road I should not walk down, and I'm filled with stress and anxiety and alone. He says, Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean also. He's like, if you let me touch you on the inside, you don't even have to worry about what comes out on the outside. Because it's no longer a show. It's who you are. I make you new. How many of you need to be made new? Made new. The inside. It's just clean. And suddenly, what you used to try to appease the Lord with, it just comes out of the abundance of your heart because the inside has been cleaned by the Lord. Praise God. Even, he says, you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. This is what he had to say. Now, you guys aren't Pharisees, right? No, right? Sometimes, yeah. That's actually what the Lord told me. I mean, I'm talking specifically, Nate, you're a whitewashed tomb. What's interesting about being a whitewashed tomb was that the reason that they would whitewash tombs in Israel was because if you were to step on a tomb, you would be ritually unclean. And so it was like the whitewashing was kind of a warning sign to keep people away from it. But the problem with the Pharisees is that people were coming, and he was essentially describing them like, your presence is making everyone else unclean. That's a pretty condemning reality. He's like, all your religion is actually binding people. Matthew 25. We're going to wrap up here pretty soon. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, remember Jesus, by the way, when he was walking past the fig tree, he said he was hungry. And he looked for food, but he found none. Matthew 25, verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered together in front of him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, the sheep, he'll say to those on his right hand, he says, come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink, or sick and visit you? When did we do this? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. And I felt like what the Lord was saying in there, like, he's bringing to us, to you, to me, people who are hungry, and he's with them. Are you guys with me? He's with them, bringing them to us. And he's saying, and he's like, well, look, this tree looks like it's got a lot of leaves on it. Let's go see if there's some fruit here. And he comes and there's nothing there. And he's saying, what's the fruit? He's like, this, it's love. You know, we've been talking about this for a long time. But that's the fruit he's looking for. When people come into this church or into our lives, it's like, what are they going to find? Are they going to find religious activity, or are they going to find the transforming power of love? And then, of course, he says to the people on the left-hand side, he says, I don't even want to read it to you. You don't want to know what he says. You don't want to know what he says to the people on the left. It ain't good. But it is in Scripture. He's essentially saying, you wicked people. And he's like, I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was sick and you never visited me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. And they're like, Jesus, come on. If we had seen Jesus hungry, we would have given you something to eat. Are you guys with me? That's what they say. And he says, wait a minute. When you withheld your hand from the least of these, you withheld it from me. I was with them. I brought them to you. Just like the Lord was bringing people to his temple. And Jesus walks into the temple and he's like, oh man, they missed it. All the religious activity that was supposed to point them to loving the people here, to celebrating with these feasts, to giving these offerings where everyone was going to be fed and life was going to come. And my presence would be there and people were going to come and be healed. I don't see any of it. I see an activity. I see leaves. I just don't see what I taught them to do. They missed it. Are you guys with me? So easy to miss. So easy. Where we just feel like I'm checking my boxes. And what I wrote this down. So these are my notes for today. it was pretty short. I wrote this down. I didn't want you guys to feel like, you just got to try harder to do good deeds. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's not about the good deeds. That's what I'm saying. That's the leaves part. It's about intimacy with God. He doesn't want your labor. He wants you. Right? He wants your heart. He wants you to come meet with him. He wants to transform the you that's inside. To do that, sometimes he has to pierce through the leaves. You know, the problem with God, got to be careful when you say that. The problem with God is that he's a fire. He's an all-consuming fire, which means that when what happens when you draw close, things start to get burned up. But you learn to love it. But the first time, it's scary, isn't it? You guys follow me? The first time is terrifying. It's like the first time you encounter the fire of the Lord, you're like, oh no, I don't really want to go in there. Like, let me keep some distance here. That's going to burn some things up. But then you learn that the only things that get burnt up are the things that weren't supposed to be there to begin with. And then you find that you've been made free. What you thought was going to kill you freed you. What you thought that was going to destroy you just destroyed your bonds. Are you guys with me? The things that shackled you actually are what get burned up. And what remains is real life. This is what happens when you encounter the fire of the Lord. It reminded me of the, of course, you may have already gotten some alliterations to that, but of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon, who were prisoners there. They were taken captive into Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sets up this big idol and says, everybody needs to worship or you'll be thrown into the furnace, this fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, no, we won't do it. We believe our Lord will save us from your fire. Even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. And they weren't even proud. They weren't even proud about it, by the way. Have you read this? They weren't even proud. They were very humble about it. They were like, you know, king, you got to do what you got to do. We got to do what we got to do. Like, it's fine. You can throw us in. It's fine. We're not even that worried about it. Like, it's like Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. They're like, hey, we're good. You can throw us in. And so the king gets upset, makes the fire even hotter. It's such an all-consuming fire that the guards that throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire die from the flames. And these three boys are in the fire, and the king looks in and says, there's a fourth person. We threw in three, but there's a fourth person in there. And that one looks like the Son of God. Who is that? That's Jesus. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He's in the fire. God's in the fire. And they come out of the fire. They come out of the fire. And their hair is not singed. They don't even smell like smoke. But do you know what did burn off them? The ropes. The ropes that bound them. That is what falls in the fire of the Lord. The fire always looks scary until you realize that the Lord is in it. Are you guys with me on that? And wherever the Lord is, there is freedom. The chains fall off. You think the fire is going to kill you, it actually sets you free. It sets you free. Whenever you come, some of you are like, Nate, I'd love for my bonds to be loosed and my leaves to be gone. When will it happen for me? And I'm just saying, like, do not lose heart. But just be patient with the Lord. But it's probably going to come when you're ready. It's going to come when you're ready. And he's very patient. He's very patient with you. So patient. But man, when you take that step to the fire, it's gonna be, oh, that's hot. And then you step in and you realize the only thing that's burning up are the things that weren't supposed to be there anyway. Whenever you walk in and the Lord starts to work in your life, the first thing to go are often what? It's the leaves. And you'll realize that the leaves that you put on because of your own guilt and shame, because of your own insecurities and fears, that you tried to decorate your life with, he says, those things have deceived you You think they provide safety, but they actually keep you away from me. If we will remove those, you can commune with me in a new way. And you can be set free. Amen? This is the Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did to one, he will do to you. And he can set, you can live a new life.